Welcome to the Raw and Wild Hearts, a place where the raw, the unfiltered, the wild hearts gather to celebrate triumphs and hardships, learn from each other, grow together, and break down a culture rooted in fear. We will talk, we will laugh, and we will lean on each other about everyday life experiences that we could all use a little support through, and then we'll bask in the wild, magical beings that we are. My philosophy is that by embracing the dark, we may just let in the light. I am your host, Lori Rising, healer, educator, writer, adventurer, retreat leader, birth defender, and animal enthusiast and activist, along with my wild heart sidekick kitty, Jesus the Brave. We'd like to invite you to get excited about the Wild Heart Revolution. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. It's called Creating Your Reality with Sonia G. Yes, you are correct. This episode is coming out just 1 week after our season opener, The New Normal is Nothing Normal, with Amy Rehagen for season two. I am working toward making this a weekly podcast that you can count on to support, nurture, and inspire you wherever you are in this wild human ride. I feel like with my own ascension and healing work I've been doing, I have a bigger capacity within myself to hold more space for all that I'm doing, and I am definitely busier than ever. So tune in, subscribe, make sure you watch every week for new awesome episodes to carry you through this journey. I can't wait for you to hear Sonia's wild ride and how relatable it is, as well as how dialed in she is to the new Earth Awakening that's going down right now. It's a must listen. I absolutely love her hella direct but super fun approach. I know you will too. In this episode, we weave a beautiful magical ride through Sonia's early calling to the hard stuff in life and how that may have just been the catalyst to the divine stuff. She helps us understand all of the dimensional energy grids and how we ascend through them, as well as gives us that kick in the butt to get out of the mud of our dramas. And then we take a dive into learning how our belief systems are what create our reality, along with the very inspiring talks about how we shift them to truly create the reality we desire. I'll give you a hint, it takes work, but we are all capable of doing it. Because we are magical, energetic creatures who are now waking up to our potential and realizing it is absolutely limitless. And even better, Sonia has provided you and me with 5 actionable steps to take toward creating your reality, which you can sign up to receive in the show notes below. And I just want to add that Sonia and I get super passionate and excited about what we're talking about. So there is some adult language. If you have kiddos around, maybe throw in your earbuds or use your headphones. This brings me to today's sponsor, BetterHelp. That's Better H-E-L-P. Telehealth therapy that is absolutely one of my tools, and it supports me in my own mindset and belief system shifts toward creating my new and personalized reality. I was talking about how I couldn't wait for my session in last week's episode. Well, it was more healing than I could have ever imagined. We did some EMDR, which really, for me, became guided meditation, where I took myself far beyond my human form, and I'm still reeling from the results of that. Of course, this is very individual, but if you're looking for a talk therapist to add to your toolbox, make sure to find one that really resonates with your vibration, and BetterHelp can help you with that. They make it easy and free to change therapists at any time. I personally use several tools and practices for my own soul growth, and my telehealth talk therapy will always be one of them. It's my constant lifeline that creates consciousness shifts, especially when I feel stuck. So, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's professional counseling, and it's done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So visit BetterHelp, That's HELP.com/rawandwildhearts and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. When you go through my link, you get a special offer of 10% off your first month. So the link is also below in the show notes. Oh, and I wanted to tell you about my Living Pain-Free 5-Week Challenge. I just released it to my email subscribers this week. I'm so excited for this. It's a free and easy way to start doing the exact work that Sonia and I talk about in today's episode. I'm offering a holistic approach to our energetic, spiritual, mental, and physical body, adding small and time-manageable practices in week by week, so that by the end of week 5, you have developed a beautiful daily and weekly practice that supports your quality of life, connection to source, and time in your human body. It's my deep hope that by the end of the 5 weeks, you notice how great you feel with this new practice, and that new high-vibing feeling helps you stick with it, even with the 3D life's demands. So go to my website at therawandwildhearts.com and sign up to be a part of the Wild Heart Revolution. Look for week 1 in your inbox and let's do it. Let me know how it's going. I'd love to hear from you with what's working, what's not, if you have questions or thoughts, all of it. I'm doing it too, so we can definitely vibrate higher together. And lastly, Sonia and I were in such flow in our conversation that I didn't even notice time had run out before I was able to ask Sonia for all of her contact deets, so I'll blow her up here now. You can find her website at moonbabetribe.com, and you can find her on Instagram at moonbabesandthelighttribe. She has a very powerful Going Supernova Solstice retreat that you can attend digitally or in person coming up, where she will teach you how to do the grid working, portal opening, gatekeeping, frequency holding, light weaving, ley line activating, time collapsing, and the reality birthing work you came on earth to do. Her contact links are below in the show notes. And like I said before, she's provided us with 5 actionable steps to take to create your reality. And the link for that download is below as well. Okay, on to the episode. Sonia G is a revolutionary of light. She is here to bust through old paradigms and old realities and birth new ones from within herself and hold that frequency available for everyone ready on this planet. Sonia has been practicing meditation, gestalt therapy, dream work, and many other subconscious reprogramming techniques for over 10 years now. She grew up in Torino, Italy, and later came to Salt Lake City, Utah, following her instinct at a young age. She just knew she needed to be on this side of the world. She has been blessed to learn from shamans and gurus and has developed a gift of intuitive connection with all cosmic universal energy. She has a big passion for all things astrology, and everything she does is based on the cycles of the moon, because the moon is the divine ruler of our subconscious, of all things feminine, and of our emotions. And emotions are what get us what we want and desire. They are the juice that powers our manifesting ability, so it's super important to have it all in sync. Sonia creates moon meditation events and digital courses in sync with the cosmos. Her intention for any of the events and courses is to create profound and sacred experiences that get you to discover your true happiness, how to stay in alignment, and manifest the life of your dreams. She calls this heaven within. Please welcome Sonia G. Hello, Sonia. Welcome to the Wild Heart Revolution.
Woohoo! I am here for it. Hello, Lori.
Yes. Oh, this is going to be amazing. But first, I like to start with a toast or a prayer to the Wild Heart Warriors in our light, especially our dark, and in all of our magic and glory. May we continue to elevate consciousness through honesty, humor, humility, gentle care, soul-wrenching growth, and ownership, and to us, and to witnessing one reality while creating another.
Yes!
Yes! How are you?
I am so good. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yes, this is going to be amazing. I just came upon your beautiful light maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I feel like this relationship has just, you know, transpired and opened up so quickly. And I knew it. The first moment I saw your video, I came across you on a hashtag and I watched your video and I was like, whoa, you know, it's like feeling that you've been looking for your whole life in someone in your community. And you gave me all of that. I was like, oh my God, she gets me. She totally gets me. And I'm sure you get that a lot, right?
That is the feeling. Yes. That's the frequency that I work with. I want everybody. It's my solid intention for everybody to feel like they are found. Like, I got you.
Right. It feels so good, especially when we're working against deep programming and cultural conditioning where we're wading through our own stuff. But then when that person comes and like magnetizes to what's below that, our true frequency, our true soul, it's just like rainbows and motherfucking unicorns.
Motherfucking unicorns is right.
So a hashtag brought us together and here we are changing the world, right?
Yes. Yes.
So let's talk about your story real quick. I think it sounds pretty familiar to a lot of people in this frequency where we grew up in a very, I'm picking this up, but Catholic family. You grew up in Italy. So just give us a little bit of how you have evolved into this light that you are now.
Oh, thank you. I love that. It is a light evolution. It's a revolution that is an evolution. That's what I always say. I was raised in a Catholic country. I was raised in Italy. My family is Catholic. And then they became LDS, which is another religion that's very unpopular in Italy. So I grew up in first one of my parents, then the other. I grew up in a household where it made me very confused because I went to Catholic nun school, you know, like prayed to the gods, like with the catechism thing. And then on Sundays, all of a sudden, hey, we're going to a new church. So it's like, I grew up really confused. And my arguments, my fights with my dad was, you can't tell me what God to believe in. You know, these are my teenage fights. Not your average fights. I'm sure that we had also the other fights, but you know, those are the ones I remember. So it was just always very much confusing. And I am now, right? Like when you go through this like journey, then you get to the point where you're like, oh, that makes sense. Why that had to be so fucking heart-wrenching and hard. And like, you know, I had to go through all of that, but it was so much. And the way that I felt inside was so like, I just didn't belong in my country. I didn't belong in the school that I was in. I didn't belong with friends. I didn't belong with people. I didn't belong with my family. Like, I was like, I don't even know who you people are. Even though I would always tell my mom and dad, since I was a kid, I would tell them, you guys forget who you are. You're a queen and you're a king, but you forget. And I would tell them all the time. My mom still tells me. So So since I was a kid, right? I would have the nightmares. And I feel like this is a story. I'm telling the story because I feel like this happens to a lot, right? I was tormented in my nightmares. I would have the snake people that would come get me in my nightmares. I was like terrified of being alone. Like I had all of these things just because I was so constantly like, you know, challenged, attacked. And my parents didn't really know what to do with me in a lot of ways. And then I always had this reoccurring dream too on the positive side of things where I would be in front of people where I saw myself like on a stage where I saw myself like teaching and, you know, in my mind, it looked like training. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to work for some international company. I'm going to be like, you know, this person that teaches people things and exposes things. And so I went into business. I was like, I'm going to have to learn English. So I felt it so strongly that at 16 years old, at 15, I pleaded a case with my parents that I needed to come to the US. And they were like, you're 15. And I wanted to go to LA. They're like, you're not going to LA. And I was like, look, talk to God about it. He will tell you. I was like, I know this. And it was really wild. But the blessing of this whole distortion of, you know, religion and everything that happened in my family, they were like, holy shit, you got to go to the US. Like, they were like, oh my God. And so they made some phone calls. I didn't end up in LA because they're like, you're 15, almost 16, you're not going to LA, you're going to Utah. It feels much safer there. So that's kind of how that started. And then I made a life and it was really hard at first, obviously. The theme is always the non-belonging, always. Like all of a sudden I was by myself in a country. I didn't know the language. I didn't understand the customs. The people were weird. Like, you know, high school in the US is a whole other realm of things. And so
yeah, talk about something that'll test you.
Oh my gosh. I cried every day. And my parents haven't known this until recently. Cause I was like, if I tell them how sad and hard this is, they're going to just tell me you're coming home, you know? So that's where I really had to develop my personal strength. You know, that was my connection. It was me and me. And I ran to, so I wasn't a foreign exchange student. There was like no program that kept track of me. My parents, I literally have this like kick-ass story. Now that I look back, I'm like, holy shit, I did that. But like my mom sewed money into a vest. Like they sent me here with like $10,000 in cash and a suitcase. And they were like,
what?
Good luck, child. Yeah, like go make like it real. I feel like probably this is part of like rewriting the stories of like some of my ancestors, right? And I remember being at like the Paris airport because I had to like fly through different things, and I was like, I didn't understand French, I didn't understand all the signs, and I was just this girl, and I was like, holy fucking shit, I'm really doing this. Like I am, and it hit me, right? Like I was really doing this, and I was so scared, and I had this money on me and nobody knew it because it was like sewn in like the inner pockets of my jacket. Like it has been a wild fucking ride.
Yeah. Like from the start.
Yeah. Like just, you know, challenges and you know, just things. So like, it's not what I'm saying is I had to fight at every step to really find out who I am. Like, and I never gave up. And this is a story that I like to share because a lot of people are like, oh, this is hard. Maybe this is not alignment, right? Mm-hmm. People would like to think that alignment is like effortless, but that's generally not it. It's like that motherfucking steep road uphill that goes like this, that's probably alignment. The one that goes downhill, that's probably not it.
Right?
Yeah.
You just talked about that last night. Like, this isn't easy. Usually when we're ascending the most, we're the most uncomfortable. And I love that. And I don't want to skip ahead. I love the story so much because I feel like it's giving me even like more firecrackers about your past, because I'm like, that's of course, like you people that experience that kind of opening culturally, and especially when you're that young and you're fighting for it, like something in you was so strong and your intuition worked so well that you stuck the course. I've been an adult in foreign countries and crying my eyes out and how am I going to do this when I didn't know the language, and eventually I've learned the language. But imagine that at 15 on your own with boatloads of cash sewn into your clothes.
$10,000, but to me it felt like I could be carrying a million, you know, like I was
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, amazing. That's amazing. Absolutely. That makes sense. I love it. I love the story. I love that it's part of what has made you you. So let's go into more of where the spiritual you really started coming out.
So really that was like the pivotal moment started there, because tell you what, when you don't speak the language, people don't understand your needs, and you can't talk to your family and you don't have friends, like you're going to figure out who the fuck God is, like real quick. Like you're going to figure out what's going on up here. You're going to figure out like something, you know? And to be honest, I didn't really like, I was still resistant of my parents' religion. So I can't say that it had anything to do with God quite yet, but I developed trust for my own sense of knowingness, right? And I knew that there was a force that was greater. Like there was some kind of force and power in God, but I wasn't clear on it. And it was like, I just had to develop trust in myself. That obviously it was survival mode, right? So fast forward to my 20s, because my life was fast tracked. You can imagine, like, you have to figure out life in another country, like you're going to figure it out. So I bought a condo when I was 18, because the people that I lived with, crazy families, like, you know, and I was like, mom, dad, I need to find a family that will remember how to take me to school. Like they would forget. So I was emancipated, like when I was like 16 and I could write my own notes and all of that stuff. Long story short, bought a condo, had big responsibilities, got married in Vegas when I was 21, because that seemed like a good idea. And like all these things happened to definitely do a soul partner. That caused the fact that I got married in Vegas caused such a huge breakup with my family. And I didn't talk to them. And that was my dark ages. And like a series of events happen, like they happen for people's lives. That was my dark night of the soul. For me, it happened when I was like 2021, and I had to do like reset everything. I was like, what if God isn't real? What if this isn't real? Like, it was just fuck off to everything. I literally told my father to fuck off, which was like the biggest thing. And I hung up on him and I was like, oh my God. And that was like my questioning of God. Okay. And everything that came. And so that was a moment where I had to reset everything, and I had to inch and inch in every piece of my understanding of where my line of connection is, because now I felt really just by myself, you know, like all of these things, because obviously then, you know, I was divorced, but like I had to figure that out. And that's where it started. That was my very first dark night of the soul. And so then I figured out that I had, you know, a connection. Then my connection scared me, because we do this. It's like, oh, hey, I can see things and, you know, and auras and like all of this stuff. And I was like, what is going on? Like, people were talking to me about these things. I started manifesting these people and I was like, So then I went for a bender, because people do that. So it was like, let's do the party life. Like, maybe this will like numb it all out and make it all better. So we should probably do that and chase, you know, these, all of these other things. And I think it's a chapter in a lot of starseeds, like, you know, and lightworkers like book, where you just have to experience like the crazy and sometimes the darkness and the wild side of this world, because you have to experience it so that I feel like you have to get it out of the way so then you can focus on the things that matter. Like, you know, at some point you have to do that. And so I did that. I went to school, I got my degree, and, you know, and I remember making a conscious choice. It was my freshman year in college, and I thought it was going to be better. So this is again, at the beginning of my 20s, right? And I remember looking around and I was like, these people are all asleep. And I remember, like, I was like, this is like idiocy, if that's a word, like the thing, the conversations, like nobody talked about things that mattered. Everything was so superficial. Like, and it was a cultural thing that I didn't connect. I didn't connect with anybody like heart-wise or anything. And I had to make a decision. I was like, if I'm going to survive and if I'm going to do this and if I'm going to get a degree, I need to be like these people. And that was like another moment where I was like, you know, I went into like this fitting in consciousness of let's, you know, wear Tommy Hilfiger. I remember that because that was a thing. And, you know, like all of that stuff and like blend in with these people. Like I felt like I was undercover from like somewhere, I didn't know where, but blending in, you know, from like with the people. And so I had to get myself out of that. So I've been saying like there are stages, right? And sometimes then we resist it and we want, there's a part of us that so much wants to fit in. And then, you know, it just gets so ugly and so yucky that you're like, duh, this has to change. And then you're like, I got to go to the light. And it, sometimes we need that in order for, you know, that to happen. And for me, it literally was like a series of things that pulled me back into the light side. Like everything about what I was doing, I was managing a modeling agency and it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, like the whole way. And I was like, this is like the side of this world that I didn't want to be exposed to. And in the business side of things, I got exposed to a lot of things real quick, which now makes sense because I saw how the tops of businesses are ran, right? Like I did the whole corporate America climbing experience and it is gross. It's really gross. So I understand that. So anyways, I kind of was like, ugh. And then I went to a spiritual retreat and I met people that could see things and that could communicate, you know, like I was in this other room and I was like, this exists. There are people that actually do these things and can see auras. And from then I was like, I'm in, this is what I want. And I quit my job just like that. Didn't make any sense. I spent $30,000 in like self-development. I was like, my mentor, his name is Gary. I was like, sign me up, like whatever you got, like, you know, I'm in. And like, I learned all sorts of stuff. And he was doing self-development. It wasn't like the work that we do now, but you know, this was like years ago. This is like, oh gosh, this dates me, but like 15 years ago, you know, 20 years ago, like the beginning of this stuff. And that's where I just became very stubborn in figuring things out for myself. I used my stubbornness to my advantage, and I would just sit there until I got the information. True story. I don't think I ever said this anywhere. I actually tried to levitate. I was like, what if I can actually levitate? That one didn't work out.
You know what, though? I believe that we can.
Yeah.
So I have levitated.
You have.
Yeah. But it was a very specific situation that got me to that point. And I don't know if you've ever heard of John Barnes' myofascial release. So it's basically releasing emotional, physical.
Inner. Yeah. Myofascial release. I understand.
There's two different ones. And John Barnes is very specific. So it's very spiritual. It's very ascension oriented. And literally, like, what you're doing is you're finding God within your cells, and you're releasing all the traumas that our cells take on every day, every second, every generation, every lifetime, right? And so your body takes you through these amazing unwindings through whatever patterns, emotional, physical, spiritual, you've been through. And so your emotions can come out, but you physically move through these patterns. And there was one time where in Sedona, this is where one of his clinics is, I was doing an unwinding. There were four people kind of working on me, holding energy in space and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I knew it was happening, but I couldn't believe it. And it was like one of those moments where you're like, is this real? Is it not real? Am I here? Am I not here? Right. So I was spinning above the ground, and I was spinning so fast that there's no way that their hands could have been moving me. And I mean, I had carpet burns all up and down my legs and arms to like show me I was actually doing that. And I was there, but that's where I'm, you know, you said I had to be with myself, or you became a part of yourself when you were 15, you found God within yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like that was probably one of your first starts at moving so deeply into the space that you are, because like, honestly, it's spirit blowing where you are and what you do and how focused you are. Do you know you're a double Virgo, right?
It's true. we got a moon in Sag. We got some.
Oh, nice. Too. Okay. Yeah. I've got five planets in Aries. So we connect on that fire jam. But I also want to agree with you about when we're culturally conditioned. I think every time I realized later on in my 20s, every time I got wasted, it was because I got scared of my own clairvoyance or claircognizance or my own abilities, because we don't learn that that's normal. It actually gets learned out of us in this linear culture. And so I think that when you're saying star seeds, you know, go through that, I think that's why, because it's so powerful. But our surroundings and environment do not lend to that. They don't open to that. They don't encourage that from us. Right?
And you feel like you have to like dumb yourself down. It's literally like a frequency downer. Like, you know, that's why, and they even say that like alcohol and so many of the drugs and things are like downers, because they literally like bring your frequency down. And a lot of times that's it. It's like you hide, or you just want to not be aware of what's happening because you're not relating. You don't have a way to relate to what you're doing on the planet.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly. That's why when I came across you, and it's like, I still remember watching that video and I was enamored. Okay. We're going to know each other. Something's coming out of this for sure. Like, I'm sticking with this light here. So let's talk about creating your reality, because I feel like you are so in tuned. You are so aligned with this. You're like manifestation all up in there, right? Let's talk about what's happening right now with the dimensional shift, 3D, 5D, and 12D real quick.
Okay. So the 3D Earth is let's talk about more so than the Earth. I mean, let's talk about the grids, because everything is energy. We all agree on this. Like, we have now established fundamentals. Everything is energy. So there are energy grids that people connect to depending on where you vibrate. Okay. And sometimes we connect through to different places on different days. Sometimes people are in lower vibrational fields, so they connect to like a 3D reality. Sometimes they're in a seventh dimensional or 12th dimensional, whatever vibrational field. And so they're there. So it literally is like connecting to a different sphere of energy that exists, that's layered within the physically manifested like world that we see. So the reality that we see, that people think of as the real world, right? Like the manifested, collectively accepted upon reality. So the visual reality, that is the, that's a world that we exist in, but we don't necessarily vibrate with, because it depends on where we're connected to. So let me explain. 3D is the construct world. It's the three-dimensional experience of life. That's, again, this like socially accepted reality. That's where the news are, where corporate America is, where the globalists rule the planet, right? That's like the 9-to-5. That's where we're all like migrating away from. That grid, even though that reality exists in a manifested way, the actual grid work for that is gone. It doesn't exist, which is the reason why it has been in our world, one thing after another. Hey, trauma, fear, problem, shit show, what the fuck ever, you know, like everything. It's like this. It's like, let's give them another problem, another fear, another thing, because these old feelings take back a reality that is gone and magnetize it back into life. To like relate in, you know, more in a maybe easier way for some people, it's kind of like the ex-boyfriend. When you have like the hurts and the fears and the guy that cheated on you, let's just say, right? And then you, for whatever reason, you're like, I'm done with that. I'm so much better. I'm claiming all of this. You know, you go on your own. And then all of a sudden, something, it triggers you. Like you're hearing all of these things from all of these people, and you keep on like having this fear that the next boyfriend will cheat on you. And then you attract a dude that's going to cheat on you. Like, it's kind of like that. Even though it wasn't in your reality anymore, you attract it back because you're magnetized for it. Our feelings send out these impulses that are like magnets, and they bring a reality to us, right?
Would you say that's like staying in your wounding?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like staying in the wounds. And a lot of times, like the thing is, a lot of people are now starting to understand this, which is really good. And that's why I tell always, and I've been, you know, kind of in this preaching mode lately where I'm like, get out of your dramas, get out of the dramas.
I love it.
Heal them, move forward. Like, let's stop. Even like my own mentor, like he started a retreat that was called The Awakening 40 years ago, way ahead of his time. He teaches something that throws people off, and I love his teaching. So let's just preface that. But he teaches people that there's this like black hole, which is also known as like the mother wound, or like, you know, all of the Chiron, like, you know, of our experience. And people keep focusing on that shit. And I'm like, if we keep calling it the black hole, like it just sounds like this big bad thing that continues to exist. Like, that's not cool. Let's rename that shit. Let's like call it done, you know? And so it's like, instead of going back, oh, well, my mother, well, my trigger is, get completed with that. Like, I'm starting to just be like, you know, and it's not when I say it like that, it doesn't mean it's easy. And it doesn't mean that, you know, it's like you get to just skip feeling the feelings of it. It just means hurry up and like, you know, do your work, do what it takes, acquire the skills, and do, you know, whatever, like be led to the guidance that you need to work with mentors or courses or whatever it is that you need in order to heal that. Because the dramas, like whenever the government says something that triggers massive fear inside the people, if you have fears from childhood, from your parents, from abuse, from whatever the hell it is, from boyfriends, right? From life, from not having enough money, from whatever it is, fear will attract the fears that you have not healed, and you will continuously perpetually manifest that, which attaches you back to an old grid. And that's what they're capitalizing on, is the people being not in charge of their energy and actually, you know, going back to recreate a world that doesn't exist, just because fear is so strong. So now, that being said, for the most part, a lot of people, like a lot of light workers, have figured that out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank God. So majority of live workers are not there, and they're mostly living in this new earth land, right? New earth mm-hmm. world, which is the fifth dimensional, like the 5D energy that we talk about. In reality, there are multiple grids. So there are multiple spheres of energy that we live in, that for the purposes of the language of, you know, what we explain, we call 5D. Like if you say 5D, people think new earth and that's it. The reality is new earth is now a 12th dimensional frequency. Okay. So we went through all the different Ds. 5D is the consciousness where you begin to shift from like the unity. You see the, you know, oh, hey, we are all connected. We do need to give a shit about each other. It's not me against the people. It's me with the people. Right. And like, right. if I help another person, it comes back around and it's not, so it's kind of like, you know, and we love, it's that unity kind of consciousness feel. So that's where it's like love and light being the information. And so that's when people go through the rabbit holes, right? When we talk about like love and light, it's like, oh my gosh, light is information. Tell me all the things I need to know. And then once you go through that stage, you begin to work with a higher consciousness and you begin to work with the seventh dimensional. Like by the time you're like working in like 6D and 7D and 8D, you're working with the star beings. You're talking with, you know, you're working with galactic consciousness. Like you're beginning to expand. You know what your Akashic records are. You're like working with guides and angels. You start to work with your higher self. You're like, hey, it's me and my higher self. We got this. Like you've got this thing figured out and you begin to move dimensionally through. And it's a process of like, you weave yourself through layers by calling in your highest alignment, right? And I do this because it's like, sometimes it's like, whew, you know, it's like a workout. It's like an energetic workout. And you constantly move yourself through all these things. As you move and as you call through another layer, as you are in harmony and in alignment with the new layer, for example, let's just say you're working with the seventh dimensional. A lot of light workers are working in 7D right now. This is standing into your truth, speaking up, finding your voice, claiming your power. These are like seventh dimensional frequencies that are associated with our throat chakra that are associated with all the work that we do with like, you know, the star beings, like the Sirians and everything else. And the that's really about power. And so it's here, or like a lot of light workers are also at their, you know, at their third eye. But this is kind of where we're at. And these are how the dimensional frequencies connect, right? So mm-hmm. the more you have available to work with, and the more you have healed, and the like, the more you have released, kind of like what you're saying, like find the God within yourselves, right? The more you release, like the traumas inside the cells, the emotional traumas, like mind, body, spirit, like all of it, you have to like transmute it, forgive the people, let it go, call in the healing, you know, all those things. And then as you, your Kundalini starts to rise, like in full power through all of the chakras, like through this connection with your crystalline light, like with your chakra pillar, then you are now interfacing with the planetary field full force. You're not just at your heart. You're not just at your solar plexus. Like you're not just at, you know, your the lower triangle chakras. So your red, everybody knows them by color. So the red and the orange and the yellow. Okay. So your root and your sacral and your solar plexus, those are the ones that connect to the 3D earth. Okay. 3D grid. So mm-hmm. that's where you're staying in like the fears, the belief systems, the survival mode, like that kind of stuff. And then you fight your way through it. Like you create, right? Because you're procreating. So you're using your second chakra because this is like, you're making babies, right? Like, and you have the ability to create, but we're just not used to that. We think of creation as in creation of life, you know, creation of children, but you also create realities from there. And so people mm-hmm. are figuring that out now, which is good. And then we're going, you know, you're claiming your willpower. At that moment, you begin to switch to 5D and to the new earth frequencies. So again, 5D, new earth, 7D, like, you know, is where a lot of light workers are, but there's really quite a bit already that are plugging into the 12th dimensional grid. So 9D is like, you're figuring out like the Akashic records, like there's many layers that go through in every dimensional plane. And so you conquer these spheres. And every single time you like expand and you can hold energetically this new sphere of consciousness, it multiplies. So it goes faster. Like you're kind of like exponentially energetically in alignment. And so like the more in alignment you are, the easier it is to get in alignment and to stay in alignment. Right. And so it's kind of like getting into groove is the hard part. And once you figure it out, it's like a muscle. Like you're like, nope, I know how this works, you know?
Yeah. Right. And that's like the daily practice, which is going to lead me to the big part of the conversation here, which is our belief systems. And that's really what our reality is created on, right?
Yes.
So how are we dropping in to shift these belief systems? Because I believe we, and I'm pretty sure we have a lot of help right now. The veil is much thinner. And we have so much spiritual support for this. So if you could go into that a little bit, I feel like that's really, you know, the juice of what we want to get to.
Yeah. Okay. So the whole, like the veil conversation, for example, that is kind of like, it's practically raised once we get into this 12th dimensional consciousness, right?
Right.
And 12D is where we get to program our reality. Mm-hmm. So we have completed a template and we've cleared the karma. We've cleared the wounds and now our belief system. So when we clear the wounds, we rewire our beliefs. When we clear, you know, like all of the old stuff, we now have to believe something else because mm-hmm. if we've healed it, we now have made room to believe something that we deserve better. Right. Let's say, so once we are in alignment and we are plugging into the 12th dimensional grid, reality becomes like morphogenic. It feels like you're like, you can just change it at will. You can mm-hmm. actually just call in what you want to experience, and you've harnessed your power right enough that the reality actually responds. Like you push your impulses out into your aura, and your aura codes your reality for you. And so you literally watch it change. Like you witness it change. It's wild. Like when you start to do this stuff consciously, right? And so, but it is available. So as you're doing that, and as you are believing that you're worthy of these things. So the belief work is very important because as after you heal things, it's kind of like when you sage, you know, when you sage your house and you like vacuum it all out, like now it's all healed, but now what are you filling it with? Right? Like you have to bring in like the love and the light and the Archangel Michael or the Reiki or whatever it is that you bring in, or you burn something different in order to fill with light. So it's the same thing. Our belief systems fill our energy field that's gotten healed right from the wounds, like with light and with, you know, these beliefs. So now the reality that we walk into actually gets predicated upon these beliefs, meaning like if you believe that you're worthy of more than enough, this is something I was just talking with my girlfriends about recently, like the belief of I have more than enough, you know, mm-hmm. like there is always more than enough, like healing the belief of lack and the wounds of lack. Right. And so it's like, if you believe that no matter what, your reality will always code to that. You'll go to the grocery store, for example, and you'll buy things and then you'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I wonder what's going to happen with my bank account, you know, or whatever, like, and then, but if you believe that you always have more than enough, you will have that. You will have left. Like it won't even make sense. Sometimes like beliefs don't make sense that way. It doesn't match up. Right. So it doesn't have to make sense because it's quantum. And so the way that we are healing and recoding and the help from the other side, it's really coming in terms of like we're being reminded who we are. And I think it's vital because you have to remember how amazing, infinite, great, and like eternal you are to then shift your perspective and have this eternal perspective. Like once you remember your lives on, you know, other planets in the galaxy and you can expand and you like fully remember all of these other things. And, you know, you interact with guides, you interact with your higher self, like you live in this, you know, actual more highly functional, like reality, you start to just, the little things that come up in life don't seem to matter, right? And so you don't give them the, you know, it's not that dramatic. It's like,
you don't give them the power.
Yeah. So I screwed up. So I'm going to do this again. Like, not a big deal. Like the argument, not a big deal. We're going to heal it. Like, you're like, look, I served on a council in the stars. This is a tiny little moment in time. We're going to be fucking fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like you adopt, like you shift. And so, but it takes, you know, it's not the stuff where like you reach there. So I want to say this, this beliefs are a framework. It works like you're building a house. Okay. If you just, build, like if you get high one time and you experience being in another dimension, a different reality, and it's like, whoa, I was somewhere on the stars, right? It's not, it didn't become tangible in your physical experience. It's not enough for you to actually believe and create from, because you don't know for sure. Does that make sense?
It wasn't a soul integration.
It wasn't conscious. And so what we want to do is we want to do this work actively and consciously, because then you know. And when you know, man, that feeling of no, like that's stuff you can build on, right?
Yeah.
And then you integrate a belief system and then you're like, I know, like nobody can tell me otherwise. And so then your reality continues to code based on that. Once you know, for example, you had, you know, your life before Earth was in the Pleiades and you were working with the Pleiadian consciousness, like, and, you know, you're probably really resonating with that phase of like the awakening and the ascension. And then you're, you embrace it, you know it because you have a, like a direct experience of it. You actually have, you know, a knowingness in a state of awareness and consciousness. Then you're like, oh, I know. And you own that. It's like a code unlocks, you hold this frequency. And then now guess what's going to happen? You're going to attract a bunch of people that are also Pleiadian because that's where your energy's at. Right. So it's all of these things that start to unlock and then life just gets better and better.
Yeah. Well, and it becomes so centered in your being and soul that the outward cultural conditioning or consciousness cannot shake it.
Yeah.
So you can't. I want to differentiate here for people that are maybe just starting this work or starting to understand it. So this is, you truly believe it. You don't just think it.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, you know, I have a feeling that, or like this one time this happened and I had this experience. So I'm pretty sure that maybe something, you know, and the truth is it actually doesn't work unless you know it at 100%. Like you have to lock in the full range of the energy. Like if you believe something 99%, it won't manifest, right? If you believe that you're worthy of $100,000 at 99%, it ain't coming, right? But if you believe it at 100%, it's coming because it has to, because there's no room for error. And that's what a lot of people, like they stop at that, you know, 99%. They stop at the thing. And so whatever it is that you do, if you do it at 100%, you begin to see how the energy completes and changes at 100%. That's when you know. Like if you know something at 100%, that's freedom, because nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot. Can you give your example real quick that you talked about last night about when you were trying to do the affirmation of being a millionaire?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I actually found it. So I got a new car today and I found an affirmation from like 20. I think I wrote it in 2018 because I was saying that I was letting my ex-husband go in love. And I was like, I choose to live my happily ever after, no matter what. But I found this thing. I need to just like publicly share it. But on there, it said, like, I was claiming it. I was already claiming being a millionaire. And it just, I was trying so hard, right? And that's really what it feels like. Instead of doing, it feels like trying.
Yes.
Because
yes, thank you.
I was doing the mirror work and I was just trying to fit into this like thing, right? Mind you, I was doing this when I was like out in 2018. I was like, never mind, 2017. It had to be 2017 because I was out in out of corporate America, out of like having any kind of clients. It was like the universe was just taking all the things away from me. Like, are you going to focus on what you need to do? You know, lost my marriage, lost my house, like so many things. I had to really like go, you don't have to do this part. So I was like there where I had to like give everything up. And I was calling in like, one day I'm going to be a millionaire. I am like, you know, I'm calling in, I'm a millionaire and all of these things. And I was doing this work already in the mirror because I was like, I'm calling this in. But the thing is, I didn't believe it. It felt like such a stretch because I was like, you know, I had my credit cards were racking up because I was like starting things. And, you know, I was trying to figure out which direction to go and honestly growing the courage to actually say the things I needed to say in the world. And so it just didn't match. My belief system did not match and I couldn't hold it. But I actually tried for a solid like year almost. Like I really did. Like I didn't give up, which I think is what made it really shift. When I figured it out that I couldn't hold that. I couldn't hold millionaire. That was just like such a big word and big energy, but I could hold tens of thousands of dollars. Yes. And it felt so good. And I was like, cause I was like, how do I say it? Like half a million. I'm like, half a millionaire is not cool. Plus I couldn't hold that, you know? So I was like, I went down and I was like, what feels good? And I was like, I've made $10,000 in a month before, right? I remember that was like a mark in corporate America. And I was like, you know, like I can hold that and I can hold more than that. So that was my starting point. It was like, I can make multiple tens of thousands of dollars. And I found that affirmation card where I wrote that. And that's where I started. And that felt so good to me that it was like, it can be a huge number. Now the belief system was locked in and the money had room to flow. That's how it started.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you so much. I feel like that really helps us truly understand it. Cause you know, when The Secret came out, I feel like a lot of people were set up for failure because it was like, okay, law of attraction. If you think this, so people were thinking it all day long, nothing was coming. And then people were getting really turned off spiritually. And so this is the good stuff. This is what, you know, it's the reality of we're coming into alignment and belief and we're going out of the fear brain and the lack of, and the not enough, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're coming from a place of, I don't want to be where I was, so I'm scared of that. You know what
it's
I mean?
Still that. Yeah. Yeah. It's the negative of that, which actually I'm glad that you brought that up. Whenever you do affirmations, it's always in the positive because our brain, okay. And I learned this in Gestalt therapy, like our brain only takes in, like even when you muscle test, let's not make it complicated. When you muscle test, you don't muscle test in the negative, you muscle test in the positive, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you say something and then it's a yes or no, because our brain responds the same way. Even if you say not in front of it, it still takes the information that's the whatever you're affirming. So it doesn't register the not part. So always say things in the positive.
Oh yeah. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Like not like, I am so done with that. That's not a good affirmation. Claim what you want to claim. Forget the negative, like claim the things in the positive. Yeah.
Well, and forgetting the negative is really clearing the karma, the karmic clearing that we're all doing right now. I feel like right now I'm so in it. Yeah. Like I'm kind of painfully in it. You know what I mean?
A lot of people are though. Yeah.
But I know what's on the other side. So I'm just like writing it. I mean, I have someone literally ghosting me. I'm not even dating. It's not even a dating thing. And I haven't been ghosted in years. It's actually in the podcast. And I'm like, okay, this is something I need to clear out because it's coming back one more time. This is the last time.
That's right. I mean? So when that stuff happens, you know, it's like, thank God this just got triggered because I clearly need to like be done with this, right? When that stuff comes up, constantly like clear it and recreate it. And you get better and better at that. So as those things come up, you will get better and the reality shifts. And so like I had one of my wounds like come up today. Because one of my things, obviously now knowing my story, was, you know, that I am alone. and I'm not supported because I'm just alone in this like huge country and in this huge world. And so I have healed it on all the layers. And today again, I was going, like, I was making like one of the biggest purchases of my life ever, which was buying a car. And I thought my boyfriend, the man that I live with, would, you know, want to come and help, like do the manly thing. And he was completely busy otherwise. And I was like, it's right here. We're back to this. It's me and you. And I had to reframe that. And I had to reframe it again. But this is what happens, right? I was like, I had my moment and I was like, it's okay. I can do this by myself. It's not a need. It's a want. It's a something that, you know, it would be enjoyable, but I don't need that. I know how this works, right? I don't need this from a partner. In fact, I don't need anything from a partner. I would like things, but I don't need things. And I reframed all of that. In fact, I was late for my appointment for my car signing situation, half hour, because I was like, I know how this shit works. And I'm taking 20 minutes in the mirror, you know, like I was doing the work.
Yeah.
And so I cleaned it up and I reframed it and I felt really good about it. It's always important that you feel really good about whatever it is that you're doing, that you're not, you know, because you can see the line of choice, like where it's like, I could have gone and been like, oh, well, he did, you know, whatever. Like there was a story that could have been written out. And I was like, I am so done with all of that. And I get to do things on my own. Like I get to claim this moment, period, the end, it's for me, you know? And I got really strong and really powerful in that. And what was wild is that he had left in the morning to go and do something. Cause he was like, no, I have a busy day. By the time I left, and I never said a word, I never said anything. I'm like, oh my gosh, you aren't coming. I just said, you can do whatever you want. And, by the time I left the house, he was coming in and he was like, so are we going to go? And I was like, really? Like all the time, because if the moment that you heal it, and then he ended up coming with me, but just to support me, just to witness the moment, because it was a big deal for me. But like you can reframe it and your reality shifts like that, but you actually have to go into it and deal with it. Not like a victim, but like the victor.
It's like deciding not to go into the old narrative and surrendering. I feel like surrender is a huge part of it because I finally surrendered today and now I feel great. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be disappointed anymore. Like whatever, you know what I mean? But it was the surrender. Like I literally feel it in my soul, in my heart, when you truly surrender and then you have like this clean space or clean slate to start your new reality and create that.
Yes. And surrender as an active thing. This is something that I'm really picky about always saying, because it's like not surrender, like I give up and I can't do this, but surrender, like I am done feeling this feeling and you know, whatever it is, boom. Like I actively surrender this to make room for more. That's, you know what I mean? Like it's an active thing. It's not a passive thing. You're not giving up when you surrender. It's an active. Yeah.
Right.
Like I can't say it enough times. No,
thank you for clarifying that, because I'm a hypnotherapist, so I'm really into words, but I teach childbirth as well. And we're talking about surrendering so often.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I'm just automatically surrender is a part of like ascending. So thank you for clarifying that. We do have to go because I know you're on a time schedule. Thank you so much for being here. I wish we could have got into even a little bit of money and love manifestation, because that is super fun and sexy.
Next time we'll have a follow up. Yeah.
Okay. Next time, real quick, just who would be your dream guest? You don't even have to get into why, but I just want to hit on that real quick.
It would be one of my higher selves. I know this is probably unconventional, but if I could physically manifest one of my higher selves, that would be it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is beautiful. I'm in. I'd like that too. I would totally tune into that show.
Right? Like who better than that? Like be your own hero for sure.
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to end on that. I'm not even going to give out my dream guest because I feel like that was perfect. And this conversation was so inspiring. Thank you so much, Sonia, for taking the time. I know you're very busy and I really do hope that we have that follow-up because we have so much more to talk about.
That will be fun. Thank you for having me, Loria. So enjoy it. Thank you for doing the work that you do.
Oh, yes. Back at you all of the way. Thank you. Cheers. Beautiful day to you.
So much love. Bye.
Bye, honey. And with that, let's normalize the struggles, celebrate the quirks, and lean into the light. From myself and Beezus the Brave, happy Wild Heart Revolution, friends. No. There you go. Yes. That's how I'm. Yeah, that is definitely how I'm feeling lately. I'm in that fucking direction.
Am I grounded in the right roles here?
Yeah. Right. Okay.